Wonderful. You've been listening to Marissa Nadler on Dark Night of the Soul. Is it all right if we speak for a few minutes?
Yeah, totally.
Do you want to put your guitar down, or
sure,
are you ready to go?
Hold on 1 second. Is this safe to unplug?
Yeah. Okay. You were, in addition to being a musician, you're an artist as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that painting art or all kinds of visual art?
Yeah, my main focus had been figurative painting and figurative illustration. And I still do quite a bit of fine artwork, although I'd like to do more.
Right. You taught for a while, didn't you?
I did. I was an art teacher in Harlem for a year before I got invited to tour Europe, and then I kind of got sucked away from teaching. But it's definitely something that, as I get older, that it seems like something I'd like to do again.
Right. Was it small children or high school?
Yeah, I'd like to actually be a painting professor. I mean, in addition to continuing music, it's hard to do both, though.
Yeah, yeah. Although, particularly if you're like a high school teacher, you get the summer.
Exactly. So that's kind of like my thinking, because a touring lifestyle for a delicate person is sometimes a difficult combination.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. When did music come to you? Did you start with the visual art first?
Yeah, I definitely started with the visual art. I didn't ever take a music lesson or a voice lesson or anything like that. My brother was in a rock band in high school, and I was like this mute social outcast kind of kid, you know.
Most creative people are.
Yeah, and like I might be exaggerating for storytelling purposes, but for the most part, I definitely didn't fit in, and so I didn't have the confidence to like get up in front of people or sing. And then around the age, like I went to RISD for 6 years for like undergrad and grad school, but like during that time my confidence kind of got a little better enough to play music in front of people.
So you were already playing music throughout school, you just weren't doing it in front of people?
Like I started playing guitar when I was like 14,
right,
but I didn't start actually performing until I was 18, and my stage fright continues to this day.
Did you write songs from the very beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you your first album? Does it have any songs from like you were 14 or 15 when you wrote them?
No, because you know, back in the day, it's strange because I'm only 30 now, but there's a huge technological like difference between people my age and people that are like 20.
Right.
Because all my earliest recordings were recorded on 4-track cassette tape,
or
different kinds of like mini disc tapes and tapes that have gotten lost. And so I don't have the MP3s for my maybe 4 or 5 records that I just wrote and didn't care about and lost. So
you don't want to revisit any of those old songs and play them again?
Like, the ones that I didn't record, I just don't remember, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But my first record, like the first official record, Ballads of Living and Dying, I mostly wrote, like, within a year.
Mm-hmm.
My first year of, my third year of college. It was kind of like a spirit forced, in a way, because I had no idea where most of those songs came from.
Do they come complete, or do you start with the lyrics or the music first?
They come complete.
Wow.
I mean, I like get a ditty or, you know, like a melody in my head.
Mm-hmm. And the words will already be there.
Well, like I'll usually use like filler words in a way to get the
rhythm
rhyme
down.
And the meter and
the
rhythm of how many syllables need to be in a phrase. And even though there aren't usually that many syllables in any of my songs, because I tend to draw words out, like the rhythm is really important as for phrasing in terms of my singing. So I'll like say maybe the word flower or I don't know, murder or whatever, anything, something 2-syllable, like 100 times while writing the melody of a song, and then write the words. Or sometimes I'll make up words and then I'll be like, oh, that that is about this and I didn't figure it out till just now. But never do I sit down and I say, I'm going to write a song about trains, you know. Some people do have that different different approach where they're like, I'm going to write a song and it's going to be about this.
Right.
Obviously, when you get your heart broken, it's a lot easier to write songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you had mentioned before that you had a muse for a lot of your stuff.
I did. I mean, I think everybody has. My muses have changed. I mean, there was definitely one, like a muse. We only mentioned this because last time I was at WFMU, the fire alarm went off and I was with that, you know, it was just somebody that was very inspiring. But, you know, now I have a new one.
Right.
And, you know, I think I tend to derive artistic inspiration from romance. And I think that's pretty common for artists.
Right, you hope it, you always think that it'll be, you know, a positive inspiration, although the negative ones tend to make better songs.
Well, this is the thing. This is something I struggle with constantly. I mean, how do you... My brother is a novelist, and we fight constantly about the concept of, like, of needing to be unhappy versus happy to make great work.
And right.
He believes you can definitely be happy and well-adjusted and still make artwork, but if your aesthetic is purely the melancholy, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm still trying to find that balance, and I'm still young enough that I could maybe have a complete change of face. And there's a lot of sunshine in my new record. Like, it's a lot about, there's a lot of sadness and heartbreak, but also about acceptance and moving on. And so I think that that happy force has definitely kind of entered into my existence.
Right. Right. And your this current album, when did it come out? Like in the last couple of months?
June 14th.
And it was funded through a Kickstarter campaign, right?
Mm, yeah.
That must have been really exciting. I looked at it today. You well exceeded the goal.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I guess all those years, like almost a decade now of touring, has like
paid off.
Yeah, in terms of the fact that, like, I have some people that really care about, well, I don't know, you know, it felt at the time when I was feeling really low and my record label dropped me from a record label named after my own song.
Oh gosh.
So I felt like, oh my god, I'm never gonna write another song, I'm never gonna make another record, I may as well give up now. And my current boyfriend, new muse, was the one that was like, you should try this. And, you know, I'd heard about it and I wasn't sure, but it turned out to be a really positive experience.
Yeah, I'm hearing of it more and more. My last guest, Eliza Rickman, did the same thing and was able to, you know, complete her record and put it out through the Kickstarter thing. It's definitely the media of the future to not have to rely on the labels and, you know, follow whatever standards they have and worry about them distributing you and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that you this is your
fifth album. Yeah.
You self-titled it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason you decided to do that?
There, you know, I just felt like, I felt at the time that the record was something I worked really hard on and spent a long time with the actual songs, and really just, I feel like most artists should have a self-titled record, just because, I don't know, I'm just kind of a traditionalist at heart, and I had never done that, and it wasn't as if I was saying, like, my entire body of work up to this date doesn't
matter,
like, because I consider the record a continuation of all the years I've put into my music. It just felt like, if it's not this one, which one is it going to be? And I guess that's kind of a non-answer, but I felt good enough about the songs.
It's funny because, you know, you always think of it as being the first album that it is just your name, but more and more it's less common to do that. You know, people's third and fourth album will have just the self-title. Tell us where, first of all, you actually released the album in vinyl, which is awesome. Because I know vinyl is more expensive to produce, and not a lot of people do both. You know, we get a certain amount of vinyl here that I think are vinyl-only releases, but it's great that you released it both ways. Where can the listeners find your music?
Oh, all over the place. I mean, I actually like started my own record label in a way, like where I called up all these different independent distribution companies, found one, and so it's in stores and stuff.
Oh, that's great.
And you can be my website, which is just my name, is
MarissaNadler.com. Marissa with two S's, right?
Or iTunes, Amazon, or Bandcamp, or any, like, it's, I made sure that I
fits everywhere.
Worked hard on this release to try to like get it in the right places.
Do you think it's more broadly released than your ones with the record label were?
No.
No.
I mean, you know what I have to say about that? Like, like, it hurt to be dropped by a record label.
Oh, yeah.
But they were good at what they did, and I have a lot of respect for record labels. Mm-hmm. And I'm, it's just more like I didn't want to go through the rejection process again. And nothing to do with not respecting people that work at labels. I actually think that they're probably pretty nice people. Like, you just don't mix business with pleasure. And even, like, the smallest companies are still business operations.
Right.
And there are things that they did for me that I can't do for myself. Like, I couldn't afford to hire a publicist in Europe, for instance.
Right.
So, like, my previous releases always, like, did, like, like, I could only do so much. And so, yeah, there's been a lot more limitations on this release, and hopefully as, like, that'll change and I can kind of work on it staggered. But
do you have it? Is it distributed in Europe at this point?
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, that's the good. Same distributor, like, distributes it in Europe, but the thing is, like, if you don't have, like, a big company working for you, people don't know that you even have a record out.
Right.
Because, so, like, there's, like, this huge PR force. Mm-hmm. It's such a big part of even the indie music world. So, like, there are some pros and cons to everything. Like, labels, the one I was on was really good at what they did. And I harbor no negative. Like, it hurt at the time, but people have to do what they have to do. And I'm happy I put it out myself. But at the same time, it's a ton more work. Like, sometimes you just want to sit and write a song, and it's like, okay, I've got to box records all day. So I think it took on a little more than I can handle.
But it sounds like you did a good job as far as getting it out there. I mean, if you can actually buy it in stores, because so many, like, particularly the self-funded albums, things like the Kickstarter, you really have to, you know, go to the website and get it from that. The website and iTunes are pretty much the do-it-yourself record thing. But the fact that you actually got it into stores, that you can actually find stores to get it into these days, is really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think even some of the distribution companies these days that usually only primarily worked with record labels are willing to take on, like, independent clients, I guess. It's not like they're going to pick up. Like, I had been working for quite some time in the music, and I had a lot of records, so I think they felt like it might be an okay gamble.
Because you were already established, and you probably already had a fan base.
Yeah, like, as small as it may be, like, you know, it was enough maybe for them to have a little faith.
Well, that's good. I mean, I see your name pop up more and more, and everybody here is playing your new album and loving it.
Yay. Well, that's good to hear.
And you've got some relatively local dates coming up, right? In September?
Yeah. I actually do. I mean, I just played New York twice, so and I got car trouble, which is why I couldn't make my last thing, but I am playing in September at the Bowery Ballroom, opening for a songwriter named James Vincent McMorrow, who's from Ireland.
Oh, cool. So that's the 9th, right?
I guess so.
I think that's what I saw, is the Bowery Ballroom on the 9th. And I think you have like a Philadelphia show coming up as well?
I think, actually, at the top of my head, I don't know the dates.
Well, is that on your website? So go to MarissaNadler.com. And if you're listening on the radio and you're in the local area, she'll be at Bowery Ballroom on September 9th. Thank you so much for coming in, Marissa. You sounded wonderful. It's terrific to see you again, and hopefully I'll get to see you in concert again sometime soon.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I love the station.
So yeah.
It's really an honor to be here.
Great, great, great. And thank you to Ernie Endredad for engineering for us today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.